Blog Talk Radio.
God designed it that way. See, he spoke the universe into being in Genesis, the first chapter. For the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But God, the speaking spirit, spoke and said, let there be light, and there was life. So I want to know how many people are excited about the word tonight. I said, are you excited about the word tonight? If you're excited, get up and we're going to just celebrate the word together. Here we go, y'all. Talk to them. Tell them. Say it. Great. Eternal. Shall that from AJ?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Surely the word of the Lord is great and powerful. The Bible declares it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's one of our weapons that we can put on. It says it's one of part of the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for just being on the broadcast today. This is the Prospering Soul, and we are here to talk about justification. We thank God for all of those that will be listening in on the Internet, those that will be calling in over the phone, those that will be listening to the archive later. We thank God for each and every one of you, and we hope that the word will fall on good ground and that it will accomplish what God has set it out to do. We know that's what he says in his word, that his word will not return unto him void. So we thank God for each and every one that will be taking part of this today, and that will be hopefully that you will be blessed and you'll tell your family members about it, those that need to be saved, because we're going through continuing on this foundation series. And we're going to start talking about justification. Of course, I always think it'll take one or two sessions, but it might take longer. But anyway, we are going to be sharing the word of God with you on today. And so we thank the Lord for those that are already on the line. And I would just say, as usual, I'll just have you introduce yourself so that you can we can know who you are. I think it's Elder Russell and Elder and Sister Dawson, I believe. So, but anyway, could you just introduce yourself?
Can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
This is Phyllis Dotson.
Amen, Sister Dotson. We thank the Lord for you. And we have one more. Is that Elder Russell? Or is it Elder Posted? I know it's one of them. I know their numbers is kind of similar, so that's why I was thinking that. But we're going to go on and get started today. I thank the Lord for this topic. We're going on. We had just came off a series with talking about unforgiveness and so and forgiveness, and that was a very fruitful topic that was, and I believe that a lot of people were blessed by the topic and was really, even the people that were sharing was blessed by it, and then they were, what they told us, it was really a blessing, and just all the word that went forth concerning that. And I think it was a very fruitful topic, and I think that, you know, I'm going to continue to kind of put that, share those broadcasts there with people, because a lot of people, we got some great responses from that series there about just people, you know, coming into realization that they might have still been walking in unforgiveness, even though they feel like they're, you know, they're doing what God has told them to do, but they're still kind of walking in those areas and have some things that they needed to do. And we all have those things we have to do really daily. It's something that we have to do daily and ask the Lord to forgive us and then forgive those around us that have hurt us or might have done something to us or something like that. But we thank the Lord for that. But we're going to talk about justification. And, of course, our object is to show how righteousness is provided by Christ and Christ alone, and how that we can't save ourselves, we can't justify ourselves. It's all done by Christ. And I know so many times we hear people say, well, when I get myself together, when I get right, and then I'll come to Christ when I get myself together. It's not nothing that we can get together ourselves. Christ did the work for us. All we need to do is accept it. And then we will begin to live a life of holiness as he has instructed us to do. But he is the one that has put his life on the cross. He gave his life for us and so that we can be able to obtain these things. So when we accept Christ, then he takes our sin. He's already taken our sin, but then he gives us his righteousness. And so that's how that goes. And so we're going to just kind of give a legal overview of what justification is. Justification is a singular act in which God declares an unrighteous individual to be righteous, an act made possible because Christ was legally made sin while on the cross. And we're going to read 2 Corinthians 5:21 in just a minute. And it says, justification is granted to all who exercise faith. Exercise faith, and that is viewed as a gift from God, unmerited favor, his grace. And so that's a legal overview of justification. And then the justice system, which is, we'll read this scripture too. Before I go any further, let me get to 2 Corinthians 5:21. I had it up now, it's gone. Okay. It's taking me a minute to get there. Okay. But if anybody has it up, if they want to read it, that'd be okay.
I'll read it.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 5:21 says, and this is the King James Version, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him."
Yeah, and so... so he became sin for us. And I got some notes here, and it says, when we trust in Christ, we make an exchange. Our sin for his righteousness. And our sin was laid on Christ at his crucifixion. His righteousness is given to us at our conversion. So that is what Christians mean when we say Christ's atonement for sin in the world. Bartering works only when two people exchange goods or of relatively equal value. But God offers to trade his righteousness for our sin, something of immeasurable worth for something completely worthless. So look at his kindness toward us. He offered something that's worth, we can't even put a price on it, it's worth that much. But he took something that from our worthlessness and gave us something so great. Do you all have any comments concerning?
Right now, I'm just so appreciative of justification.
Yes.
Because just listening to you just kind of brings it back to mind. You know, we always say we're justified, but when you really hear the definition of it, it just makes you, you know, kind of jogs your memory and makes you so appreciative of it that it's like a bartering system, you know. And if he stood and he gave his righteousness for my sin, I take the righteousness and he took the sin. Of course, this is basic, but still, it bears repeating.
Yes, yes. Because that's really, and like it was saying, said when we barter, you know, when they used to barter, that's how they exchange things. You know, I'd give a cow, and maybe you would give something of, you know, just as equal value because I had something that I needed from you. You had something that you needed from me, and so we exchanged something. But so when we did it amongst each other, it was something of equal value. But his atonement for our sin, that we can't even measure up to that. But he went to the cross for us and took on all of that stuff. I mean, we're just not even talking about the sins of the ones that was there at the crucifixion. But all of us, all through life, he took on all of that. What an ugly mess that was.
Right.
Yeah.
Only God can do it. We can't even fathom it.
Yeah, only God can do it.
And
so that's why we
that.
Have to... Go ahead.
I said we can't even fathom that because we can barely deal with our own individual problems and situations. Just think what God did for everybody. I mean, that's serious.
It's really, yeah, for everybody he did it. And he just, it was just such a blessing that, you know, that he took on that for us. And he loved us so much. He created us, and then we messed up. Because we messed up when Adam messed up, everybody got messed up. And so, but he loved us enough to do something to get us back, to redeem us back to him.
I think it's important to try to drive home a point for people to understand how important this is. Because you're talking about if you were standing before a judge or legal system today, and they were saying, this person can go free if we can kill you. And, you know, I don't even know if people really understand the extent of what Jesus did and what God, the plan that God had put in place for us. And we are justified, because then when God looks at us, and you have it in your notes, he's not seeing us for the filthiness and the sin that we are, but he's seeing us through the blood of Jesus. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking about, you know, in what we hear in the news today about, you know, people going and shooting up and killing people in schools, and, you know, there's domestic violence, and people beating mates, and, you know, not dealing with anger. And it's worn so loose. You know what I'm saying? It's like they don't really understand the intent of somebody giving their life for you. I mean, because once it's gone, it's gone. And we've kind of gotten in our society, I think, away from really understanding the impact for Christ Jesus, because it's shown in our lack of care or respect for life of each other. And the way society is right now, like we can just kill somebody and go, you know, get a hamburger or a pizza and not even think anything about it.
Right.
But when we talk about, you know, what Christ did, we're talking about, and we kind of alluded to this before, we're talking about saving us from a sentence that is eternal, meaning forever. You know, we hear the judge pronounce a convict to go to jail for life. But even with that, you know, they put a number on it. But you can't number eternity forever.
Right.
And we're saved because of him justifying us. We're saved beyond what even our mind could comprehend forever, eternity. You know what I'm saying? So I may have gone a little further than what you wanted to go. But I think it's important to realize that this is serious business. I mean, it's serious.
Yeah, because you're talking about not only what you're talking about, too, when you say eternity, you're talking about after death.
Right.
I have a question. I hear songs, and I know it's in the scriptures that we are justified by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, God has went to the cross, and he has paid the ultimate price so that we can be justified. But sounds like to me that we have a responsibility to receive it.
Yeah, if we go to Romans, what is it, 3:28, where it talks about that? It talks about Romans 3:28. It says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So we have to have faith. But the reason why God did that like that is because if we have the faith to believe that we're justified, then what it does, it eliminates the pride of human effort. Because faith is not a deed that we do. Faith is something that we have to have in God. We exalt what we say, we're exalting what God has done for us, not what we do. So that's what the faith comes in to say.
Okay.
And then it says faith admits that we can't keep the law or measure up to God's standards. We need help. And then it says faith is based on our relationship with God, not on our performance for God. It says good deeds are important, but they will not earn us eternal life.
And what you were referring to is Romans 3, and I believe it starts at 21. 3 and 21, this is the King James Version again. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and become short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believed in Jesus. That's the faith.
Yes.
That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
And then this is the good. This is another good thing. And when I think about that, because you said those that believe in Jesus. If we look at Genesis 15:6, and it's talking about Abraham at that time, it's because it said Genesis 15:6 says, and he believed in the Lord. And he counted it unto him for righteousness. So his belief, and then it says, when I was reading the notes on that, it says it was Abraham's belief in God, not his actions, that made him right with God. It says we can have the same relationship by trusting in God. Our outward actions alone cannot make us righteous, but believing God is who he says he is. And does what he says he will do, he will count it unto us for righteousness.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to, I think it was, what is that guy's name? The little small Asian guy. I can't think of his name. But he's real popular. But he was talking about the law, and he was talking about, you know, when Jesus Christ came, he didn't come to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill it, when you were talking about the law there. And it was so enlightening and such a blessing to me, because he said, okay, the Bible does say in the commandments, you should not kill your brother, you should not, thou should not murder. But in the New Testament, under grace, it says, but you are not even supposed to hate. So
right.
I was just thinking about how merciful and how God, how that justification really works for us now. Because, because a lot of us won't kill nobody. But then, you know, that hatred and stuff is something that we need to work on. And so I thank God that it's not by works. But it has to be by faith, because a lot of people won't kill nobody. But if you got hate in your heart, it's still wrong. So that's why you have to be justified by faith, not by what you do. I almost lost my thought there. It's not by what you do, but you got to trust God, because the three of us sitting here, 9 times out of 10, we're not going to murder anybody. But if we're sitting up and hating somebody, it's just the same. It's just as bad as sin. So that's why we need the Lord's justification to help us through this stuff. He justifies us, with his blood. And we need that.
Yeah.
Wow. There's so much in Romans 3 and 4 that I'm just like, my head is spinning. When we talk about the law, the Lord took me back to 21. And I just want to say it again. But now the righteousness of God. But now the righteousness of God without the law manifests.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking that as God's righteousness is coming into play without the law, because of the law, if we went by the law,
right,
then you should have experienced death and loss and separation from God. But because when he removed the law, then God's now talking about God's righteousness without the law, justification. And then when you were talking about Abraham over in 4, there's a lot over there too. Wow. And I think you already read it. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, have found? Well, for if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory. If it's by works, he can glory by saying, oh, I'm justified because of what I did, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Scripture says Abraham believed God, and it was counted for righteousness. Not he believed, but pleased God. And that's not his work. That's what it's saying to us. That Abraham, what you just said, his belief, his faith in God, he was counted for righteousness, not his work.
Yes.
Right.
Because he had been doing many great things, if you think about his actions, but it wasn't that made him, that made God look at him and count it unto him for righteousness. It was his belief.
Right. Thank God.
Right.
Yeah.
He was fully persuaded. Isn't that what the scripture say?
Mm-hmm.
That what God had promised, he was able to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Were they talking about Abraham?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, then if we would, if we think about the just, we kind of talked about this, but we didn't read Romans 5 and 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so when we think about that right there, a lot of people are saying, well, how unfair it is, you know, for us to have to be the sin of Adam to have to be passed on to all of us. But the thing about it is that at some point in our life, we identify with Adam, because it says, how can we be declared guilty for something Adam did thousands of years ago? Many feel that it isn't right for God to judge us because of Adam's sin, yet each of us confirms our solidarity with Adam by our own sins every day. It says we have the same sinful nature and are prone to rebel against God, and we are judged for the sins we commit because we are sinners. It isn't pure justice we need, it's mercy.
Mm-hmm. Would that same person go back and say, well, it's not fair that God judges us all, but would they not accept Jesus Christ for what he did for all?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hold on. Hold on. Before we go there, that's why I'm here. So for that person that asked that question, Elder Bryson, is it fair, we're going to take Adam out of it. What about what you did yesterday?
Today.
Right. We ain't gonna talk about what about what you did.
Yeah.
Your work, your action.
Yeah. So that's what it was saying. We come into solidarity with Adam when we think about that. Yeah, he sinned, but so do we. We have the same nature.
Right.
Yeah.
What Adam did, it's just opened it up for all of us to do. You know, they can't It just opened up. We would naturally fall under that. So why would someone say it's not fair? Because God is just. He gave the commandment, and man fell. Whether it was Adam or Bob, you know, somebody was going to be disobedient.
Or your own actions and your own choices. Like you said, whether it's Adam or your own choices, the flesh has failed.
Yeah. Because God gave us a choice. He had a choice. He gives us a choice. Because if he didn't give us a choice, then it would be a whole different situation. But God said, no, I want you to choose yourself.
Right.
And so we proved sometime over and over again that we would go the same way that Adam went.
Right.
But because of his mercy.
Yes.
And the justification puts us in, thank God, it puts us in right standing with God. Because if we didn't have it, we'd be through.
Yeah.
Because I don't care. People can get mad. I don't care. But you all know that the Bible is true. God is God. He always has been. And he mandates for us to walk in holiness and to honor him as a holy God in the Old Testament. And it didn't change in the New. Just because they don't have all that stuff to do, he still demands
holiness.
Exactly. You know, he may not have all them little, you know, go show yourself to the priest and all that, but it's still the same God. Seriously. I think about that all the time. It's still the same God. And he demands. And so since he demands it, he's given us a way to be in right standing with him.
And just listen to what you just said. We don't have to do all of those things that they had to do in the Old Testament. He done made it even easier for us with because of Christ.
Yes. You know the way man is now, and I think about that all the time. Wouldn't it be a mess if we had to do all that? Because there's so many crooks out there. We'd have all kind of animals with blemishes. We're going to sit up because they're going to sell them to us and all that. But then they was doing that back then. That's why Jesus went in and turned over the tables, you know, because they was in the temple selling stuff. Yeah, but just thank God for the blood because we'd be up the creek, really, if we had to do all that, all these crooks out here.
And what if we had to wait for the priest to go in and atone for us once a year? But when the bell was rent after Jesus died, he made it possible for us to go to God boldly ourselves.
Because what if the priest hadn't gotten himself together?
Hey,
you depend on him.
And if we think
about
it,
he'd get behind the bell and drop dead.
Yeah.
When we be up to, oh, Lord. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, so he made it so much easier for us. We just got to believe. And we got, of course, we have to live holy and do all those things. But our initial thing is we got to believe Christ and believing and trusting in God.
You still got time.
Trust him.
Half an hour. Here, give me your phone.
Yeah.
You can hear me? Sorry, I thought I had it on mute.
Oh, sorry.
Can you hear me? Sorry, I was telling him to get. Oh, sorry.
We'll mute you till you get it on there. Yeah. So we have that. And then if we think about, I read Romans 5 and 12, yeah, we read that. And so then if you think, we're going back to the crime thing that you was talking about, Elder Posey says, when a crime is committed, a penalty is imposed. And we'll have to read Romans 5, 8 through 21 if somebody wants to get that. Oh, well, here, I got it right here. Therefore, as by one offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It says we were all born into Adam's physical family, the family line that leads to certain death. All of us have reaped the results of Adam's sin, and we have inherited his guilt and sinful nature, the tendency to sin, and God's punishment. Because of Jesus, however, we can trade judgment for forgiveness. We can trade our sin for Jesus' righteousness. Christ offers us the opportunity to be born into his spiritual family, the family line that begins with forgiveness and leads to eternal life. And, ooh, that's something. If we do nothing, we have death through Adam. But if we come to God by faith, we receive life through Christ. Which family line do you have? Family line do you now belong to? Isn't that something?
That's well. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mr. Henry, you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Okay, I thought that was you. So anyway, I just wanted you to see if you had, you got anything, comments you want to make toward anything?
Well, you know, speaking of justification, and plus I'm trying to open my notes. And, you know, speaking of justification, you know, we look at the word justify, you know, in terms of its definition, it means to show, to be just, right, in accordance with reason, to vindicate. We know that's a legal term, to free from blame, to declare guiltless, you know, to supply good or lawful grounds to warrant all these, all the words. But I think when we even just think of the word justify and see even what the apostles were trying to make clear in the book of Romans 5:4-5, talking about Adam and talking about Abraham and how he himself was justified. You know, it's a spiritual thing. When Adam and Eve, when they ate the fruit, and then got between the leaves to cover themselves, we see that God covered them with skins. And now we know, based on our understanding of the scripture, it's not, it wasn't that he just simply covered them with skins, but it was animal skin. So that means something died. So we see that in from a heavenly perspective, for them to go on living and to have a relationship with him, something had to die, and most likely God factor all that stuff in with human beings. So we see that dynamics, you know, with the way things change and the way God responded. We even see later on in the book of Leviticus, he says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your sin." That's a form of justification. Being that something dies, you are made right. Although they have the law, but yet, even within the law, you can see some fine lines, some things happening, because it just wasn't that you simply live by the law and do what was right, but something else was added, and that's this element of the blood.
Right.
And then we see the apostles begin to unfold this in the book of Romans, you know, talking about how the sin entered the world, how the everybody bear this penalty because of sin. And if that is the case, then through Jesus Christ, through his death, then we too are made free from sin. And then he brought in Abraham, and so Abraham was justified because of faith in God. He was made righteous. So he's trying to expose that all along, even with the law, if you look carefully, you would have seen that it wasn't solely because of what you did. It was what God provided. You know, if you think about the Passover, what did they do? But we see that they killed, when the death angel was coming, with all them doing anything, they had to kill an animal and put the blood on the post.
Right.
So those that were in defense of the law and said, this is the way by which you are righteous and we are righteous, we are people of the law and keeping the law. And then the apostles begin to confront them on all these things, you know, and what we can say, unfold in the scripture. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men what the law has in store, but the law has shown it to us, the apostles said. Now we know these things. So, I mean, justification is a very deep topic, and it's very beautiful that we are free, we are made right, we are in good standing with God simply because of what Jesus did on the cross. There's a scripture that says in Romans 5, 6, that for God extended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, while you were sinners, you didn't do anything. While you were yet sinners, Christ paid the price so that you can be justified, you can come in and be like the Jews themselves who have faith. And even the Jews themselves, everybody has to come under the authority of Christ and his blood. So justification is a very beautiful thing. We all need to receive it and walk in it and know that we are free.
Yes. It is. It's a beautiful thing. And just like you were saying, and then just like you were saying, but the one thing, too, that I wanted to point out about justification is the nature of it is our standing, our position with God, we are no longer seen as enemies of God. And that's our standing is our relationship. And if we would read 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, which says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is a part of the nature of justification. What it does for us in our relationship with Christ, it makes us new. When we get into Christ, then we become, it says, Christians are brand new people on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives them a new life, and they are not the same anymore, but we are not reformed, rehabilitated, or reeducated. We are recreated, new creation, living in a vital union with Christ. It says, at conversion, we do not merely turn over a new leaf. We begin a new life under a new master. While this newness is true individually, Paul is saying much more. Not only are we believers changed from within, but a whole new order or creative energy began with Christ. It says there is a new covenant, a new perspective, a new body, a new church. All of creation is being renewed, so take notice. This is not a superficial change that will be quickly superseded by another novelty, but this is an entirely new order of all creation under Christ's authority. It requires a new way of looking at all people and all of creation. And so then it asks the question, so does your life reflect this new perspective? So that is something that we have to think about when we come to Christ. And so then, like he said, he takes our sin, he gives us his righteousness. We not only get his righteousness, but we also become new inwardly.
Amen.
Man, does anybody have any more further discussion on that topic? Because it's really a deep topic as well.
It's a very deep topic. If I might interject, this is Brother Dotson. Justification really has to do with our domination, our dominion.
Yes.
Because it says in Romans 8, 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?
Mm-hmm.
It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You're covered.
Mm-hmm.
It's releasing your dominion in the earth. And he told us at the beginning in Genesis to have dominion.
Yes.
And this justification brings our dominion into play. Hallelujah. Helps us to take over. It helps us to take over. And, you know, how is heaven going to be on earth without those lest those that he chosen bring forth a difference in the earth. He comes inside of us with the Holy Ghost to make a difference on the earth. So we're to have that dominion status, and this justification brings it about. So that's what we should be searching for and ever trying to get to, that we might be in right standings and be justified with God.
Yeah,
this is our task. This is our this is our goal. This is our destiny. Amen.
Yes. Hmm. Ooh, that was so excited. I'm just getting excited about the whole topic because it's so amazing how God orchestrated it all and how he planned it all out. And we do so much stressing about stuff that we really don't have to stress out about if we just would line up.
Don't have to stress.
Yeah.
Don't have to stress. He's interceding for us.
Yeah.
Go ahead, bro.
I just want to read something. This is from site Rapture Ready. I just want to read a couple paragraphs. It says, the law is not the Ten Commandments or all of the other commandments. The law is the complete Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. All Christians should be careful to keep the moral laws in the Bible. That does not mean we are to struggle and wear ourselves out trying to keep the sacrificial and ceremonial commandments found in the Old Testament. They were all fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So we don't have to fulfill it. He lived the perfect life, keeping the Ten Commandments, the Torah, the law, and all the sacrificial, ceremony, and moral laws for us. We do not have to keep any of them to be saved or to keep our salvation. We only need to keep the moral laws to abide in Jesus and to walk, to be led by, and to live by the Holy Spirit. And this scripture references from Matthew 5:17 to John 15:4-5. But I thought it was interesting because we were talking about justification and the law, and then I think what Ed Clayton brought up about there had to be blood. That's why, you know, they were sacrificing animals for. I thought it was even interesting that they had to depend on the priest to go, but now it's opened up for us. And then what Elder Dotson just got through saying, you know, we don't struggle with it. By faith, like Abraham did, is just accept what Jesus has already done for us.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was something, even with the word justification in the, you know, John 1:12, that he used the word, he said, but to all who have received him, those who believe in him, he has given the right to become children of God.
That's it.
The right. And that's where that word justification we see. Even before the apostles and then Paul started expounding on this issue, John said he gave them the right, in which that's part of the meaning of justification, to have the right to become. So we even see in the book of John that, and not just, he said, to become children of God, both Jews, both Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, so then our reason for justification then is so that God is holy, man is sinful. I mean, these are reasons for it. And so a holy God will have no fellowship with one whose soul is stained with sin. Between a righteous God and a guilty sinner, there is a huge gap. That's Isaiah 59:2. I referenced there. I don't know what all these noise are doing. And then a man was nothing in himself because to become right before God. So there's really, you know, the human predicament was consequently just as the result of one trespass is, was condemnation for all men. So, but now,
right.
When Jesus came about, he said, well, there's no longer no condemnation. We might keep
them that are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, that are in Christ Jesus. We might be convicted by things we do so that we can, you know, get that right with God at that moment. But we're not condemned anymore because of Christ.
Right. That's right. Speaking to all those saints with low self-esteem, who are you to have low self-esteem when Christ has
Ooh.
Set you free?
Come on.
Who are you? Who are you? You're above that, not beneath that when you have Christ. You're above that, not beneath that. Get out of here, depression.
Yeah.
Get out of here. We're above that. Ooh. He placed us above that.
Yeah.
When we walk in justification, we're above it all. You got to
yeah.
look at it that way. You know, you almost have to be like that dude that's running for president right now. I can't think of his name. You know, he's got an attitude.
Yeah.
And it reflects, you know, what he feels that he is. But listen, we should reflect what Jesus Christ was. He was our example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at yourself below anything. Look at
Mm-mm.
yourself above it all. Because Christ has set us free.
He set us free.
Justified. Justified. I mean, you know, that's something we should repeat every morning.
Yeah, I'm justified.
New mercies. New mercies every morning. Why do we get those new mercies? Because we're justified. We have
right.
not a high priest that is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And making intercession for us. Oh, my God. What
yeah.
what a God we serve.
What a God.
Hallelujah.
That is, because when you think about it, when people come next time, somebody come and tell to you and say, oh, well, you know, you think you're someone. I'm justified.
I'm justified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hey, Denise, you know that scripture, and you got scripture backed up because it says, whom the Lord calls. What does it say he calls? He justifies. Then he glorifies. So if you call, you justify, which puts you in right standing. So, yeah, well, that's a mouthful.
That's
justified.
And, honey, then he goes on to say, glorified. My
yeah.
God, you ain't beneath nothing. You're above it all. Walk in your step. Walk where God has put you.
Ooh.
Walk where God has called you to. He's called you higher than
yeah.
that. Don't walk below where God's put you. My God, take it.
Ooh. That right there, that's a whole counseling session right there. That'll help somebody come up out of that depression, and that, like you said, that
come
low self.
Come up out of there. You don't
yeah,
need
feel
to be
like
in there.
Nobody. He said
you
would make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath.
Tell. You weren't called to that. You were called to dominion.
Okay.
You were called to justification. That's what you were called to.
Yeah.
Justification and dominion. Walk in it.
Woo.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Oh, Lord, that is awesome right there. That's a blessing right there. All by itself. Oh, my
Lord.
Goodness.
And you know what? You know what? It's legal.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes. It's legal because if we go by the court systems, God already arranged it and justified
yeah.
it. He's the just judge. Who's going to condemn it?
Okay. Okay, so y'all talking deep. Y'all talking deep about the you won't get in trouble, but I'm just going to say you won't get in trouble. Y'all talking about the court, but if God said it, I mean, that you talking about it makes us legal? If God said it, it does. So we can't get in trouble, so we can't have the attitude of Donald Trump, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because if God said it,
that,
really.
Words, what they always
yeah.
say, if he said it, his word settles it.
I mean, you got to have the right spirit behind it.
Yes,
but still, you got to have the right spirit. But if you know who you are, you walk to whom he called, he justified, and then he justified and he glorified him. So, I mean, we have a – and then and if we are the righteousness of God, hey, we got some clout.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. And it all is you can't do it without love.
Mm-mm.
You know.
Okay.
He justifies you because you do have love for the brethren. If you don't have any love for the brethren, you can't walk in that area.
Wow.
Right, because he wants us to be justified. We are justified, but he also wants us to have love and humility.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't have that, you can't walk in that area.
Of our attitude, right.
Yes, ma'am.
But we don't
have to be
of low estate. We don't have to stick with nobody.
There you go.
We are somebody because of what Christ did.
Right.
That's
and
right.
And that goes to where you talk about Christ fulfilling the law. He didn't come to condemn
mm-hmm.
it, but he came to fulfill it. So when the Lord is legal, what is legal? It's the law. The law
there
that
you
he
go.
Didn't condemn, but that he came to fulfill.
Yes.
Wow. My mind is running 1,000 miles a minute right now.
You know, the brother that just spoke brought up a very good point because he just didn't focus on the issue of justification in terms of free from sin and free from guilt, but free to be children of God. And even if we look at in Scripture, when God, in creation, everything he made in Genesis 1, the Bible said, and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he made, he said, it was good. And
good.
So that to be children of God, even when we think about why did God put certain things in place, why Israel should eat certain things or do certain things, it wasn't so much of law, but it was to show how important they were, how higher of a standard and how God considered them. You see what I mean? Just think about God delivering Israel from Egypt and how he
esteemed
them to crush Pharaoh and to bring them out. And because they did not see that, and sometimes because we've been in a place so long and we have heard things said about us, we see ourselves. There's this thing that happening where there's a wrestling happening. God is saying one thing. The word is saying one thing. Even God put them into this place of high esteem that their first war with the Amalekite, of people that really didn't know war, defeated the enemy. God put them into a high esteem in that when he was bringing them and send the spies, those giants were in the land.
They were?
They were so much above that Joshua said they are bread for us. But they did not know that. And I think it's a dangerous thing when it comes to even to justification. And us not knowing that, we look at ourselves lower,
mm-hmm.
you know, than who we really are. Me being from Africa, sometimes I think about this issue that, can you imagine a country that can fit into Africa like maybe 100 times, Portugal?
Right.
A country that is so small. Decided
mm-hmm.
to take over a country that is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
Not a country, but a continent of people that is so huge.
Yeah.
Although they didn't do it in one day, but think about Great Britain, the empire, a place that is so small. How were they able to become so powerful that they were
right.
ruling the United States?
Mm.
Because of the mindset.
That's it.
And I think we as children of God, what makes us powerful is because we have God. It's not because of our size or because of our limited ability. It's because of our God's big ability. So when the brother said that, I think it's something that we really need to think about, not just justification in terms of saving and going to heaven, but who we really are and how we ought to think and be and function. And
that's right.
Low self-esteem.
Wow.
We got to think higher than that.
Right.
Higher.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that what?
Yeah, yeah.
Say the scripture. There it is.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Thought it not robbery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like the brother said, it's a mindset.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. You know. And you really have to be there to understand it. It's an eye awakening type of thing. It takes you in a new dimension.
Mm-hmm.
When you can understand it. And it takes something to understand it, because we go through things. And you know, when we're going through those things, you know, we have those setbacks. But the thing that keeps you inspired is to know that Christ is with you.
Yes.
And will never leave you, never forsake you, even to the end of the age, because of the justification.
Because of the justification. And I think it's also a thing where we have to know, first of all, we have to know God and know who we are in him. That's the one thing,
exactly.
I think, and I think about Abraham as our example. He was a good example for us as well. Of course, Christ was our ultimate example, but Abraham, he was what? The father of justification. He believed God, trusted in, relied on, and put confidence in him. That's what we need to do. Our righteousness is imputed by faith. And then we are the seed of Abraham. The church is the heir of the promises God made to Abraham. And then the believer is justified, declared not guilty, when we put our faith and trust in God. So there's a lot of benefits that come with being a part of the family of God. But we have to understand, I think sometimes people don't really realize who they are in God. Or they just don't really know who God is. When you hear people say, well, you know, God knows how I want it. He knows how I want it. We have to understand it ain't about us.
Mm.
It's about Christ and his redemptive work that he did on the cross. And so he is the one that has justified us. He's the one that has saved us and all of these things. And so if we would get our focus right, we would understand that we can have peace with God. We are no longer enemies of God because of Christ, because of what Christ did in the justification, and that we are no longer counted unworthy or guilty. We're no longer condemned. So why do we keep
condemning
ourselves? I tell people over and over, why do you keep bringing that up, asking God to forgive you for the same thing you done asked for forgiveness for already? You're the one that keeps it before God. God done went on to something else.
He forgot it.
Yeah. So we have to really begin to know who we are in him. Not who we are on our own, but who we are in him and whose we are. We are no longer Satan. We are God's child.
That's right.
We're no longer we're children of light.
Go ahead.
You know,
Denise, I'm sorry. It makes me think of those films, when you look at the films where the young pharaohs are coming up and they have to accept being king. So so they have a person with them that shows them how to run a kingdom right. And they're young, so they don't come into it very fast. They still have that childlike mindset, but they're king. So the older person has to keep telling them, but you're king.
Yeah.
And that's what God is telling us. He's telling us, look, you're spiritual Israel. You're my chosen. You're king.
Yeah.
Stop acting like a subject. You're king.
Yeah, you're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. This is who you are.
Yes, chosen generation. You're king. And all the while he's coming through that, and comes to a problem. And the little king says, well, how can I decide their future? How can I decide what they and the man that is instructing him says, but you're king.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you really have to have the mindset and the knowledge to know what you are.
Yeah.
And you don't know it unless you learn about God. Yeah.
Well, it says we are heirs
to
show
yourself.
We are heirs to the promise. And when you think about these people that, you know, are in these families that are very wealthy, and when they say that they are heirs, they walk as it. They not getting ready to sit around and look like, I don't have nothing, I'm rich.
Right. Right.
That's their mindset.
You know.
And they don't think nothing else about it. And so we have to have, so we're rich in Christ.
Huh. And being an heir means you have a legal right to the inheritance.
Exactly.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We are heirs, and then it says
that's
joint heirs with Christ.
Right.
There you go. There you go. Beautiful subject, justification.
Beautiful. It really is. It's like you all said, it was a beautiful, beautiful subject. And I thank the Lord for allowing us to get through this. I mean, to get through. I think we kind of covered it. I don't know if we really need to continue with it next week or not, or we might go to something else. What do you all think? Just let me know if we need to continue. But I don't think it's much. It's not. I mean, it is what it is. Oh no! I thank the Lord for this topic today, and I'm going to ask if Elder Poston will do the invitation to Christ, and then because our time is up. Time goes so fast when we're having such a good time in the Word. And then I'm going to ask Elder Dawson to pray us out, and then we will look forward to being here next week and on our next topic. I think next week we're going to talk about sanctification, and we're going to keep moving down the road with these topics so we can get to our foundation series. We're going to come back to baptism. We're going to do some study on that, and then we're going to come back to that a little later because when we teach that, we all want to be on one accord. So next week we're going to talk about sanctification, but I'm going to ask Elder Poston if he will offer the offer Christ, and if anybody wants to be saved or they will be listening to this broadcast, that they can accept Christ as their Savior. And then I will ask after that Elder Dawson to pray us out, and then we will thank each and every one of you all for listening. Those of you all that participate today, I plead the blood of Jesus over your life, and that the Lord will be bless you exceedingly abundantly above all that you can even ask or think, and that we will see you all here next week as we continue on with the prospering. So John says, 1 John says, and 3 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou will prosper, be in health, even as our soul prospers. So as our soul prospers,
amen,
other things come to us as well. All right, Elder Poston.
Amen. I would just like to say that if somebody is listening and they don't know Christ or haven't accepted him, first of all, understand that God is not happenstance, and there's a reason why you are tuned in to hear this word at this particular time. And it's not hard work. But I'm going to read a prayer that if you want to accept Christ into your heart, that you can do that right now. He can be the Lord of your life. And then you can find that upon your accepting him and your faith in him, that you can be justified. And the prayer is, Father, I know that I have broken your laws and my sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry, and I now want to turn away from my sinful life toward you. Please forgive me and help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was buried, resurrected from the dead, and is alive. And here's my prayer. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart. From this day forward, please send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. And that is in Jesus' name that we ask that come to pass. We thank you if you've given your life to God. This is the best that you could have ever done. And we welcome you to the family. And the angels are rejoicing over that one soul decided to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Father, we love you. We bless you. And Father, we lovingly call out to those that don't know you and say, God, please touch their hearts and touch their minds. I pray for these that are on this line teaching the word. Father, let us abound in the word and let it abound in us. And we'll bless you and praise you forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all, and we will look forward to you all tuning in next week. Have a blessed week, everyone.
Have a blessed week.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.